أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, we've been given yet another night to discuss an important Quranic story and also to increase our emotional attachment to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We don't want to forget the importance of that part. We want to remind ourselves of our practical responsibilities to ponder over these verses of the Quran, to find out how to serve the Imam of the time, the living Imam, the Imam who's waiting for us. Also, we need that emotional energy that we get from crying for the Imam, from mourning for him and his family. So both of those are absolutely important for us. We don't want to be people who have only one or the other. Now, why is it so important to discuss these Quranic stories? I talked a little bit about this before, but there's some other points that I feel are good for us to hear, for me to hear, for you to hear. Brothers and sisters, we are preparing, inshallah, to liberate the globe for the 12th Imam. We want to liberate all of the people of the world from oppression. And we want to see the kingdom of God on this earth, and we want to be those people through whose hands Allah does this. This is going to start, this process of creating this wonderful kingdom of God will happen when we go back to Quran and Sunnah. We ourselves as individuals and our communities, we all have to go back to Quran and Sunnah and start reforming ourselves and reforming our communities. It's not, you know, that everybody who's here in Dearborn isn't attending majalis like this, for instance. This is just our own local responsibility, because we say we want to liberate the globe. Everybody is not attending this majlis or the other many majalis that are here. There are other people who are out there who are also mu'min, who are also Shia, who should be hearing these things. Even in addition to that, there's others who might not attend majalis at all. They need to hear the words of the Ahlul Bayt. They need to be reminded of Quran and Sunnah. So when you and I, when we sit, when we discuss these things, after that we take it and we share these points with others to get the world ready, to get ourselves ready, reforming ourselves. Our Imam is only as strong as we are, we believe. The Imam is not going to come back in a miraculous fashion that we don't do anything, we sit and the Imam comes and he saves us. Rather, we have to better ourselves. As that verse of the Quran says, Surah 8, verse number 62, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. God is the one who assisted you with divine assistance and with the believers. So we feel that heavy responsibility ourselves. Now, what we're going to be doing is talking about the story of Nabi Sulaiman. But I'm going to explain to brothers and sisters, there are some challenges that might be there that keep us from being able to benefit from this wonderful true story the way that we should. Now, what we're going to learn in this story, part of it will be some of the qualifications and traits, capabilities of our Imam. Of course, there is no comparison between Imam al-Mahdi and Nabi Sulaiman. There is no comparison between the kingdom of the Mahdi and the kingdom of Sulaiman. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, "Inna mulkana a'zamu min mulki Sulaiman ibn Dawood." The kingdom of the Mahdi, our kingdom, the global kingdom of Islam, the kingdom of God on the face of the earth, there's no comparison with that and what we learn of the story of Nabi Sulaiman. But we said this is a preview. This is a way of us getting to know and introduce to the world how wonderful things will be. We'll learn some of the things, and some of you remember, at least some of you, remember the story of Nabi Sulaiman, what those who were under Sulaiman, who only had a little bit of the knowledge of the book, what they could do, let alone to get an idea of what your Imam is capable of. Right? So we're getting ourselves ready and we're going to be learning some of these things. There is one potential benefit that I'd like to share, but there's a challenge to it. The potential benefit is to use these verses, these true stories, as a faith-building exercise. a faith-building exercise. One of the things that kind of we have to do is to push ourselves in the direction of being those companions of the true Imam, of the last Imam. What is special about those individuals is their faith is unmatched. Their conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unbelievable. And that can be you and I. We can be those people whose faith is unmatched. Let me read you just one line of what we find in our hadith about the faith of those special companions. So we can see how far we want to go, and then why is it so important to have a faith-building exercise, and what's that challenge? وَرِجَالٌ كَأَنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ زُبُرَ الْحَدِيدِ لَا يَشُوبُهَا شَكٌّ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ. These people, these individuals, their hearts are so full of conviction and belief and yaqeen and Allah, there's not even any doubt in Allah in their hearts. As if their hearts are blocks of iron. I didn't bring the rest of the hadith, the Arabic of the rest of the hadith, that said that if they went after a mountain, they could remove it from there, from its place. Now, brothers and sisters, we've seen some of this in action. We've seen some of the believers who did embrace the path of the Ahlul Bayt, and miracles have been performed at their hands. Absolute miracles. Right? We're trying to get to that level that we can also be like that. How can we do that? By building our faith. What's the challenge? Now, I'll share this with you because this is something that all of us are facing. Sometimes, when you and I read these stories of the Holy Quran, we're going to be reading about miracles, things that normal human beings can't do. But they're absolute truth, the Word of God. Sometimes what happens, and I can even see it sometimes on the faces of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, when you start to discuss the stories of the Quran, for a believer who's been raised in a secular society, it's a little hard to believe sometime to take these stories in. We scoff a little bit. You can see it on the faces of the believers. You mentioned some of the miracles of the Quran. It's not that this believer takes this as the word of God. So they scoff. It's hard to them to believe. Really? There's some parts of the Quran which are easier for them, but they're raised in a secular society. It's difficult to have that kind of true faith that we should have. For instance, we're going to talk about this later, right? I'll go over the verses, because right now we're in the childhood of Nabi Sulaiman, right? The Quran talks about his childhood. We want to talk about his mother. We want to talk about a lot of things, right? You can't hear me. Is there any way of fixing the mic? Jazakum Allah khairan. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajam. Inshallah, let's try it. Okay, so back to the original point, the idea that there's a bit of a challenge to fully benefiting from Quranic stories. The challenge is within us. If I don't take the Quran as the word of God and the things that are ascribed to our Prophet as being what God says, I'm not able to benefit from the Quran properly. I'm able to find out and come out that believer who's energized and charged when I hear these stories. I want to share part of the story. And just as a preview for us, we haven't gotten to it. We'll discuss it later. Because as I said before, these are things, later on when we get to the other part, we'll see these are repeated in the lives of the Ahlul Bayt. But can we believe it? Do we believe it? For instance, how strong is our faith in God? How powerful do I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? How do I feel no matter what problem I'm in, God can fix it? For instance, from the Quran, there's going to be a part of this story where Nabi Sulaiman is going to ask Allah to bring the sun back after it set. How powerful is God? That even if the sun is set, God can bring it back. There's other parts of the story I want to share with you guys. But that readiness needs to be there. If in the heart I'm scoffing, I think, this Yeah, they say, then obviously won't be able to benefit. The prophets, even for myself as a speaker, there will be limitations that I face. And the prophets were like this. The prophets, we learned, this is from the hadith now. It says, مَا كَلَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْعِبَادِ بِكُنْهِ أَقْلِهِ. The prophet never spoke to the believers at the level of his intellect. The prophet said this, إِنَّا مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أُمِرْنَا أَن نُكَلِّمَ النَّاسِ عَلَى قَدْرِ أُقُولِهِمْ. We prophets, is the words of the prophet, we prophets have been commanded to speak to the people at their level. So if that readiness isn't in there, we're not going to be able to benefit from the stories of the Quran. We won't be able to see what it is that God's trying to tell us. They made a movie about this in preparation for the coming of the 12th Imam with a lot of isharat. Because of how powerful the story is, inshallah, we'll be able to benefit. So, one of the things about these Quranic stories is that they're here to liberate our minds and souls. There are certain mental chains on our hearts and minds, certain idols that we've been given and told to worship. And the Quranic stories are here to remove those from us. Sometimes empirical science is worshipped as a god, a mental idol. Whereas it's research, and many times we all know science, sometimes it's flawed, sometimes it's failed, sometimes there's new theories. I remember hearing a story once, they said that once there was a scientist, this isn't a true story, there was a scientist, and he was doing an experiment on a frog. So he had the frog, and he ordered the frog to jump, and the frog jumped as high as it could, and the frog jumped with 4 feet in the air. And he wrote down in his notebook, he said, a frog with 4 feet jumps 4 feet high. After that, he was kind of merciless, this scientist. He cut off one of the legs. He then ordered the frog to jump, and this time the frog only jumped 3 feet. He wrote down in his notebook, the frog with 3 feet jumps 3 feet. After that, he cut off another leg of the frog. Again, he ordered the frog to jump. This time, the frog only jumped 2 feet. And he wrote down in the frog with 2 feet jumps 2 feet. Finally, cut off that leg. The frog only has one leg. The frog then jumped, and now only 1 foot. And he wrote down in the notebook, a frog with 1 foot jumps 1 foot. The scientist was so merciless, he cut off the last leg of the frog. Then he ordered the frog, jump. The frog didn't jump. Jump! The frog didn't jump. He ordered the frog again, jump. The frog didn't jump. Then he wrote down the conclusion, a frog with no legs goes deaf. So sometimes the scientific, you may make some mistakes, but sometimes the way that it's worshiped is God. People's and belief in Quran becomes stronger by hearing about empirical science. So we want to free ourselves of these things. One of the challenges that you and I face is that we don't believe in our own power, our own ability. One of the big challenges that we're facing as believers is lack of belief in our own abilities. One of the jobs of the scholars, and Imam Khomeini did that for us. For those of you who are younger, you might not remember what state we were in. You might not even know what state we were in before Allah raised Imam Khomeini and what Imam Khomeini did for us. But one big and important job was just to get us to believe in ourselves. If we believe in ourselves, there's so much that we can do. One of the other traps that I want to mention, and we'll see if we have time tonight, can be removed by that belief in ourselves, our belief in God. Our belief in the ability of God and the help of God. I'll give you a true story from the leader. The story that he shares, he shared this story in several places, but it reminds us of that verse of Quran. There's a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran where Allah talks about one of the traits of our Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The verse, if you want to see it, Surah 9, so Surah Toba, verse number 61. What is it that Allah says about our Prophet? What is it that Imam Khomeini, as a student of our Prophet, what did he do for us? The verse is this. It says, part of the verse, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَيُؤْمِنُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He believed in Allah, the Prophet. He also believed in the believers. He trusted the believers. He believed in them. If we have that belief in ourselves, there's so many things we can do. I'll give you one example. This is a story from the leader. He says that this was about the third or fourth day into the imposed war. Myself, the leader speaking, myself and some of the senior government officials were sitting in a room. We're discussing strategy. We're consulting one another. How should we face this situation? He says, as we're sitting over there, the president is there, the prime minister is there. He says, one of the military personnel comes to me. He says, the brothers, some of the senior military officials, they're in another room. They'd like to talk with you in private. He says, I came out of the session, went over, sit down with the brothers. He said, five senior commanders sitting there, and he sits down with them. Brothers, what's on your mind? They came with a piece of paper. He says, I still have this piece of paper. I stored it in my notes. They come to him with a piece of paper. When they bring the piece of paper, they said, we just want to let you know some things. This is our situation from a military standpoint. We have this many fighter planes, let's say 5, 10. You have this many fighter planes. We have this many of this type of plane. We have this many, he said, the most of the planes were what we call C-130s, the cargo planes. And they started saying, they explained to them, they're military personnel, they said, our planes, we fly them twice a day, for instance. And the parts on the planes need to be changed very quickly, otherwise the plane can't fly. We have the amount of parts for the planes to be able to, for instance, our fighter planes will be finished in 15 days. The cargo planes, for instance, 30, 31 days. By the end, when they gave the report, the reality was that the Islamic Republic was not going to have any planes, not fighter planes, not even cargo, military cargo planes, in 31 days. It's all over. They said, now you take this piece of paper and go to Imam Khomeini and tell Imam Khomeini this. The Rapar, when he's telling the story, the leader, when he's telling the story, he says, it shouldn't be hidden from you. He said, even myself, I felt a little bit of panic. He said, military personnel? We have up until 30 days. After that, we don't have a plane at all. And the thing is that from the other side, they were being given planes by the Russians and attacking and hitting and striking. Right? And we have no planes after 30 days. So he said that after that, I went to Imam Khomeini. And I said that we've spoken to the senior military personnel. And they said that this is our situation from a military point of view. Explain the situation, and by the end, in 31 days, we have no planes. He says that I told Imam Khomeini this. He said, Imam Khomeini looked at me. And when he looked at me, he said that you tell them to go over and wage war, do what they're supposed to do. God's going to take care of it. God will fix it. You go and take care of your business. The leader says, he says, when I heard this from Imam Khomeini, he says, logically speaking, I wasn't convinced because Imam Khomeini is not a specialist in military planes. He says, but I knew something. This man is connected to God. His heart has been enlightened. God has chosen him for this big mission. God's not going to let him down. God's going to protect him. He says, because of that, then my heart, my belief became firm. I went back either that day, the next day to the brothers, and I said, Imam Khomeini says, go over, fix whatever planes you can, take care of business, get on. And they were able, he says that right now, 30-something years later, right now those same planes that were supposed to be finished in 5 days, they're still there. The help of God, brothers and sisters, this is something which is true for all of the believers, all of the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The help of Allah is there for you, brothers and sisters. The help of God is there for you. The support of Allah is there for you. You need someone. You need to believe in yourselves. You need someone to believe in you. But you're able to do things with the help of God. Now, so part of it, that faith-building exercise. Now, part of the challenge. One part of the challenge that we're facing right now is that, as I told you on the first night, they've decided that the strategy for dealing with this growth of Islam, and they know Islam is here to liberate everybody, but that little group who doesn't want to see Islam victorious, that small group, they've decided a strategy. We'll define a good Muslim. We'll define a good Muslim. They've decided that there are certain types of Islam, because you can't eradicate Islam altogether. There are certain types of Islam that are acceptable. And we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, not to fall into these traps.
And I want to give an example that all of you guys have seen. One part of that is secular Islam, just openly. Yes, I'm a Muslim, but secular Islam. I don't follow any sort of rules. Yeah, me, God, you know. On Fridays, you know, for instance, Salatul Jummah, month of Ramadan, secular Islam. Or ritualistic Islam, but ritualistic Islam in which the rituals that you're doing don't reflect the submission to God. The hijab for me is nothing but a scarf. The beard, it's a lifestyle. That's the style that I wear. Prayer for me, it's going up and down. It's not a reflection of submission to Allah. Because otherwise, that same hijab, for instance, or if it's a symbol of submission to God, they have a problem with that. Submission, true submission to God, they have a problem with that. So what do they allow? Either that secular Islam or the ritualistic Islam in which your rituals mean nothing. So for instance, how is that being promoted? I want to give you one example. Do you guys remember Muhammad Ali, the boxer? You guys remember? Nobody remembers. There's a little historical point. If you guys remember, he was a heavyweight champion, the best boxer in the world, and then he was told to perform military service. And he was willing to go to jail and have the heavyweight title stripped away from him, but refuse to serve in an oppressive army. Right? Against my principles. I'm a Muslim, I don't accept this. Fast forward to today. Do you guys remember the political campaigns, the rallies? There was one presidential candidate, and they had a Muslim speaking at one of the rallies. A husband and wife, practicing Muslims! When I'm saying this, this is accidental. I'm not attacking anybody, accusing anybody. Accidental. Muslims over there at the rallies, happy. Why? Because their son was Shaheed. How was he Shaheed? In Iraq. Fighting for who? The Americans. Did America grow a conscience after Saddam's time? Did they decide that we have to go in there and save those Iraqis? Qurbatan ilallah. Nobody's that foolish. Were there weapons of mass destruction? Of course. So what was that war for then? Should a Muslim have been over there fighting? Should a Muslim be happy about that? Right? But there are certain types of Islam when I'm not getting all of my rulings from God. I'm not, okay, well, does my marja allow me to go? Is this a situation where I should be there? Wasn't Islam to take away the tyrants? That kind of, if it's not going to be that kind of Islam, yes, then that's acceptable. They like that. They don't have a problem with that. So what we're trying to do is to make sure we don't fall into those traps. Islam, as the Prophet said it, Islam of the Mahdi, Islam which means submission to God. Submission to God. Now, because I'm supposed to end very quickly and then I'm supposed to go to another place, I want to share a little bit from the story of Nabi Sulaiman. First, please, as salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Now, brothers and sisters, one of the challenges that we face, so I'm going to go to this part of the story is actually in Surah Al-Baqarah. One verse, and we're not going to be able to talk about it tonight. Inshallah, we'll be talking in stages, gradually go through the life of Nabi Sulaiman and be taking inspiration from him to serve our imam. But one part that's relevant about tonight's topic. Right now, part of the reason it's difficult for us to believe in ourselves, to present Islam as is without watering it down, to practice Islam as is without watering it down, is the Islamophobia and the pressure that we're facing and the accusations that are about Islam and Muslims and terrorists and backward, all those different things that we keep hearing. Now, what happens, brothers and sisters, is that actually the more effort that's put against Islam, the more victorious Islam will be. We have ahadith, actually, that God will assist this religion through people who are fasiq. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِالرَّجَلِ الْفَاجِرِ God assists this religion through its enemies. We're not worried about what the enemies are doing. Brothers and sisters, we're only concerned, are we doing our responsibility? Otherwise, the negative propaganda against Islam will backfire. When Islam is taken on by the enemies, when they try and blow the light of Islam out with their mouths, God strengthens it. We're not worried about that. The pressure is when you're called names. Not when you're sitting amongst ourselves, other mu'mineen and mu'minat, but when we're living our lives amongst other people. And people say so many negative things about Islam. Then are we able to be strong? Then are we able, when you can't clear your name immediately, when you have to be patient and do what Islam says, even though the particular ruling that you're acting on is the reason that they're saying you're backwards. Can we be patient? Can we have taqwa and let God clear our name? I want to give you one story and then from Nabi Sulaiman. So once there was one of our senior ulama, and they had made such terrible accusations about this person. Terrible, terrible accusations about this person. Letters will be written, he's like this, he's like that, he's like the other. The guy who was working with him or his co-worker or working under him, he says, I was ashamed. I had to bring these letters over to him. And they contained terrible things. He asked the Ayatollah, he said, why don't you defend yourself against these accusations? Why don't you take a stance, say everything, and defend yourselves? This now is relevant for us. Because we're not always able to defend Islam or say what's actually true. Sometimes people are going to misunderstand us. Sometimes we have to stand our ground. Sometimes we have to say this is part of the religion. Yes, there is a response. And yes, things will become clear. But it's not always the case that immediately, as a believer, my name is cleared. No, sometimes I will be accused. He says, how come you don't go over and you defend yourself? Just state whatever it is you have to say. He quoted a verse, is probably this verse, Surah 22, verse number 38. Inna Allah yudafi'u 'anil ladina amanu. Verily, truly, God defends the believers. In the end, brothers and sisters, if we can stand our ground and do what it is that Islam is saying, God will defend us. He'll make it clear for us. We don't even have to worry. The thing now is just to make sure that we can do our responsibility. One story from the life of Nabi Sulaiman, and then after that I'll move on. So, if you look at, because you know that this story of Solomon, let's say, because we also have an international audience, we have others who are outside of the religion of Islam, we can share some of these Quranic stories with them. The story of Solomon, King Solomon, is there in the Bible and in popular culture. They also know about this prophet. But what happens is the Quran gives us the true story about this wonderful Nabi as opposed to the story that they share. They attribute terrible, terrible things to him. He was mazlum, this prophet, a victim of character assassination. His father, a victim of character assassination. His mother, I have to share this story, what they say about his mother in the Bible. A victim of character assassination. But God defended him. Verse of the Quran. So I'm just going to read part of this, inshallah, the discussions for later. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَىٰ مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. God goes over and he reveals a reality to us about the Yahud, the Jews. The Jews used to practice magic. They used to attribute the sources of magic to two things. One of the things they would say was the two angels, Harut and Marut. It's also mentioned in this verse. And also they would attribute it to Nabi Sulaiman. That when they would have this kingdom of Sulaiman, where he has control of the jinn and the wind and that power, they would attribute it to magic. Kufr. To worse character assassination than this for a prophet of God? Look at what God says. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. When God wants to go over later, God defends him, God explains. Right? So for us, the idea of being patient, doing our responsibility, not changing Islam to fit the whims of others, not taking out the teeth of Islam, no, whatever Islam is, as is. And then we'll let God defend the rest. But inshallah, we'll end with this, and I will leave you, brothers and sisters, inshallah. We will end with a little tawassul to the imam, and then inshallah, our brother will remind us about Imam al-Hussein. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik. Alayka minni salamullahi abadan ma baqid wa baqiya al-laylu wa nahar. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.